verse 97 as we work our way through this psalm. You can see, if you've been studying along, the psalmist is in despair a lot, but he is holding on to the Word of God. The times we're in, folks, you need to be in the Word of God. You can't afford to leave it on the shelf anymore. It doesn't get into your into your brain or into your heart by sleeping with it under the pillow. You need to study. We are in those times. Turn the TV off and don't worry about the news. It's going to happen. And get into the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together as we open your Word, Father. It is an amazing gift you've given to us. Lord, it speaks of you. It tells us who you are. We can understand who you are. We can, Lord, know you through it. See your commands. It helps us, Father God, for every trial, every circumstance, everything we confront, because it is sufficient for all things. Your word is wonderful. Father, may we even see it through the eyes of the psalmist this morning, Father, as we're encouraged to be in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, I ask these things. Amen. All right, we are in the 14th stanza of this psalm, the 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is, I guess it would be Nun. 105 to 112 is the text. Okay, so let's go ahead and read. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offering. Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. This is the eighth, or these eight verses is broken up in eight verses, all of this psalm into sections of eight. So what does God say about his word? In addition to what we read here in this psalm, there's other areas in the Bible, you know, where the Bible talks about itself and offers really some key insight. The whole Bible does that, true. But there, you know, it provides insight into why reading God's word is vital for any Christian. You know, there's other passages. Let me give you like Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. These passages of Scripture really complement Psalm 119, that they help us live according to God's commandments. They're jewels that we see in the word as we're reading. They're those standout verses that we come across and we're going, wow, that's great. That helps. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, you know the verse already probably, but it says, for the word of God is living. We learn a lot about what God's word is like just from what the word tells us. The word of God is living and powerful. See, this isn't just a novel that's sitting on your lap right now. This isn't something that is a comic book, or this is the only words, scripture given to man that has power behind it. It can change lives. It can change history. It can move men and women to do good things. It can convict. It can tear apart. It can build up. It is living and powerful. So it's alive. That's alive. It actually, when I read it, it gets into my spirit and it changes me. It convicts me. It gives me knowledge of God. So it's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when I come across these verses like this, it tells me there's something about the Word of God that's unlike any other thing I ever read. So these help me. These are nuggets. So we go to Matthew chapter 4, back up here to the Gospel of Matthew. And this is really, I believe, God wants us to see that there's His Word is everything. It can't be just an addendum to my life. It has to be a whole part of me. It's like in my DNA kind of thing. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, what does that tell you? Is that just a saying or something that comes along? God is telling us something here. It's what? Man shall not live by bread alone. No, it's you can't just have a diet for the physical body. You have to have a diet for the spiritual body. You can feed the flesh, but you better be feeding the soul. Amen. Okay? So, but by every word, not some of the words, there's this movement today to get rid of the Old Testament in some churches because that was for the past. Every word. Okay? That includes introductions, little jots, tittles of the Word of God. Everything you may not think is important is important. Amen. Okay? So, every word that proceeds from the mouth of your friends, no. Your parents, no. The culture, no. From God. Who has the final say? God's word has the final say. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul in his instruction to Timothy, really God's instruction to Timothy through Paul. We come across 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, and again, here's you already know it before I tell you, before we even read it. So 3:16, all scripture, how much scripture?
All.
Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So who gives it?
God
does, by inspiration to men, and it is profitable for doctrine or for teaching. Whenever the word's taught, there's profit to it. There's nothing that's going to be negative about it. It will produce what is God intends it to produce. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How do I know how to live right? How do I know what's pleasing to God? How do I know what righteousness looks like, the Word of God? There's no tool. And by the way, the only thing in the Christian gift store that'll do that is this. You know, I have a lot of books, but I don't spend a lot of time in those other books. I spend more time in the Bible. Those are good. Those are good to check on. Those are good to maybe read and learn, you know, from somebody else's point of view. But the where you're going to be instructed in righteousness is the Word of God. So that the man of God, this is the reason for this, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So avoid the word of God, you will not be equipped for every good work. You will not be equipped for the battle in front of you, the spiritual battle you're in right now, you won't be equipped for it. So we see that it is profitable. We go to Mark 13:31, the Gospel of Mark, and when we look at what Mark says here, and it reads this, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now again, these go with Psalm 119. These are verses that encourage us, that tells us there's something really unique about the Word of God. It's different than anything else. Think of how many words and books that have been written by men, and all that's going to pass away. You know, I don't know that there's anything more to be said anymore with the amount of books we have written on certain topics. But always go back to the best source you can be in as the Word of God. And of course, if I go back even into the Old Testament and Joshua, you know, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and what does he say there in verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it. Meditate in it day and night. We're all doing well with that, right? Meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, look at that. Here, that's the condition behind that. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Boy, you never thought of that, did you? You thought that having being prosperous and having good success was making it up the ladder of the corporation. No, prosperous and success biblically is knowing Him and understanding Him. That you can boast in. Just look at verses like that and how they support Psalm 119. And there's something the psalmist has here, as I'm seeing as I go through this psalm. He has a great respect for the Word of God. Great, he's always talking about, he's in the Word of God. Now, that respect for the Bible is one of the greatest needs in the world today. There's hardly zero respect for that book that's in your lap. And we Christians, and it's a sad testimony, think we can go to church and fellowship and function in life without it. And I won't say that. Well, I'll say it. Why not? I'm going to get in trouble. Listen. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm old-fashioned. I see digital phones, and I'm all for that. I like the stuff you can do on phones and stuff. But your grandchildren need to see a book in front of you and not a phone. Why do I say that? Because they need to see bent pages. They need to see pages that have tears on it. They need to see a book in front of you that has changed your life. They don't know that I'm at church and am I looking at the Bible or am I playing some kind of candy cane game? No, I'm serious. We can laugh at that, but you don't know what I'm doing on my phone. But you know, yeah, I can look at your Bible and tell you where your life is at right now. So I'm old-fashioned that way. So pardon me if I'm stepping on your toes, but you need to have a Bible. Now, I'll just shut up. No, that's just my opinion. Okay, so because there's a respect for that. I don't know what it is. There's just some respect for the old school, the old saints, the ones that have went before me that have burned through the pages. I remember I was in Kirkland, Washington one time, and I walked into this. It's Christo Ministries. Anybody familiar with that? Inner Christo, or right? So if you've been over there, you walk in their office, and there's this. It's like 8x8 picture of this old man's hand. And it's pointing to his raggedy old Bible, and it's in Romans. I said, that is the most amazing thing I have ever seen. It's a hand of like a 90-year-old and a Bible that's wore out. Amen. And I said, that's the amazing. I don't know how they got my address, but a couple months later, they mailed me like a maybe 3x3 thing, you know. And it's in my office at home, and I got a smaller one in here, but it's amazing what that says. This man was not, there was great respect for the Word of God. And I think that just, you know, today there's a lack of awe for the Scriptures. A lack of awe for God. There's a lack of fear for the Word because there's a lack of fear for God. We think we can change the Word of God because it has no value. People think there's no need to have the Scriptures in their life. And sadly, there's so many pulpits that reinforce that. But the Bible is the Word of God, and it is His will for mankind. You want to know what His will is? Transform your mind to understand this. And you'll know His will. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 19, in verse 119, verse 105, he says, the word is a lamp, and that's our text today. It's a lamp what? It's a lamp to my feet. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so the Apostle Paul would confirm that in 2 Timothy 3:16, in verse where we just read, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Peter would say it this way. He says, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We could go to the parable of the sower that's found in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, and we could spend some time there where Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. And how important is that seed, that word? Because we, to become a Christian, the seed must be sown in the heart and in the mind by the preaching of the gospel or the preaching of the word. What Romans 10:17 tells us that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How important is the word? If the gospel's not preached, if the word's not taught, you don't get saved. How important is the word? The great downgrade from Spurgeon's day. The word gets replaced by entertainment, by stuff. You take away the word from the pulpit and it'll fill up with gibberish and garbage, and the service becomes nothing that's built around the scriptures. And so if we stop preaching the word, the church theoretically would die the next generation. People, do you understand where we are in the world today? Yeah. And why? Because the word has no value to the world, and it certainly is starting to have no value to churches. Even if you talk about this word here being a lamp to our feet, it's God's pattern for the Christian home. You know, take marriage, right? Anyone can get married and establish a home, but it takes knowledge of the Word of God to establish and maintain a Christian home. Jesus gives us instructions in it, like Matthew 19, verses 5 and 6. What does he say there? Matthew 19, that's the marriage chapter there, says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Folks, you think that's needed in Christian homes today?
Yes.
Just that verse? Yeah. What's marriage about? How do I know what marriage is? The Word of God. Not what they tell me at the first day of June. Marriage is between a man and a woman.
Amen.
Right? And the Bible defines what men are and what women are. And it defines their roles. And guess what, culture? You're not going to change God's view. It's not going to happen. Man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That one flesh is an impossibility unless it involves a male and a female. Won't work. It's not designed to work the other way. That's Satan's plan. So then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Or you could even say, it's impossible to separate that. Why? You're not going to change God. God's word stands for what, you know. People who are married or want to get married, they need to know what God expects in marriage. We have to even teach that, even more so today. You know, without the Bible, we don't know his will. That's the great throwaway today. Marriages are a throwaway. Yep. The culture says successful marriage is 2 years long. We need more of the 60, 50 years. Where two believers have hated each other for 47 years and just decided, because I'm a believer, I'm sticking it out. Right? I'm talking about your marriage. Not mine. But the Bible gives us, you know, the characteristics of Christian living. It is a lamp to my feet. It is a light to my path. You know, how does one know how to live the Christian life? You know, the Word of God tells people how to live and how to be pleasing to God. I could just take, here's an example, and this isn't in your bulletin, I'm going to add it right now. 2 Peter. And just go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's a pattern for your life. If you don't have the Word of God, you don't know this. Because this pathway here is the pathway to victory. Because if I do what he tells me to do on this page, and it's not just read it, but I put it to my brain and my heart and my feet and my hands, it becomes the practicals of the day that I do, then I'm never going to stumble. Wait a minute. You mean the Bible gives us verses that tells us if we do this, do this, do this, we'll never stumble? So why do we stumble, folks? Because we never do it. Here it is, starting in verse 3. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, don't miss that. God has done all this for you so that you can partake in his divine nature. Wow. But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's sad because there's many who then are barren and unfruitful in their knowledge of Christ. They don't even know him. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Wow. If I just do what the Word of God tells me to do, I can have a life of victory? The answer is yes. It's a powerful tool for us. Well, let's go back here again. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So it tells me God's word is a light for me. God's word is called a light because it reveals things that would otherwise be hidden. That's the thing about God's word. It will find things that are trying to hide. Even some sin of mine. Something I'm trying to hide. Some closet I'm trying to keep closed so God won't open it. Guess what? It'll get opened. Amen. That light will shine in there. Look back at 96. Verse 96. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. How far stretching is the word of God? It's broad. Okay? This light that shines towards my feet is not just a little pencil light. It's given me light. I can walk with this in front of me. You know, so we can't know our origin or final destination apart from God's word. You know, we want answers to things, but there's certain things we don't get answers for unless we find it in here. Lamp to our feet. Think about that for a minute. If I want to know where I stand right now, I could just say this. We're made in God's image. Genesis 1, verses 26, 27. Do we need to go read that? Let's go read that. Even though you may know it. Okay, Genesis 1, 26, 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So we've been created in the image of God, but we've fallen into sin. I mean, we go back here to the Gospel of John, in John 16. Let's go to John 16, verse 8. John 16, 8. Let me get there with you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the Holy Spirit's job there. So we were created in God's image. We've fallen into sin. We're going to be convicted of that. And now, once we're convicted of that, what do you think we need? Well, we need judgment. What's God going to give us? Well, we need a Savior. So I need a Savior. So I'm going to go, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is what I needed God to do for me because I'm dead now. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. There's no way out. I'm a condemned man to die. Chapter 2, verses 12, let's start in 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, why am I telling you that? Because a lamp to my feet shows me my condition, shows me who I was created to be like, shows me how I have fallen away from that, shows me that I need a redeemer to bring me back to that. Now I know that where I used to stand in darkness, now I stand in the light of the kingdom of the beloved. Now it's not just a lamp to my feet, but it's a light to my path. Now I start walking. See, I needed a lamp to my feet to figure out where I'm standing. Now I need a light for the path because I'm going to start walking. This is what the psalmist is saying. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That takes a really big flashlight. Hello? You hearing what I'm saying? Walk in the Spirit. What is that? And don't give me some weird charismatic answer to that. Walking in the Spirit means obeying Him, walking with Him. The fruits of the Spirit will be generated in that walk. Walk with Him. Walk in righteousness. That's not doing cartwheels across the stage. It's not. I walk in the Spirit. I obey God. I walk this path, and I stay on this path. But what happens if I get off this path? Well, Ephesians 5:2 says, let me go to Ephesians 5. Again, we're walking here. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I'm walking this path, and it's a light. The Word is a light to my feet. Where am I supposed to be walking? In love. In love with who? You. Each other. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. I have to have my path lit, my feet, so I can see where they're going, because the trail is leading me to love you. I don't want to get off that trail. Or this, imagine a dark world you're walking through, and where you see is where your feet's going to go. The next step, it is quite amazing that God doesn't lighten up the whole valley, because I'm going to have to go step by step with Him. This is a process. He's not going to make it easy for me in it's noonday sun and the trail is winding around the wherever. He's going to make it so it's dark out there and you're going to have to trust me for the next step. Now watch where you're going. Each step takes thought. If I go, wait a minute, how did I get here? There's a why in the trail. Wait a minute, those are my footprints from the last time around here. You been on that trail? Well, you weren't looking at the lamp. You weren't looking at your feet, or you wouldn't be on that trail again and again and again and again. Ephesians 5:8 right here. For you who were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Part of that walk is, Lord, is the next step going to please You? Are You thrilled about what I'm doing? Is this right? This next step looks, there might be some danger to that. What should I do, Lord? Lead me, direct me. And so God's Word shows us the path to take, doesn't it? Let's go to Matthew 7. Here's one where I need to be guided by. And boy, I better take the right path here. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are what? Many who go in by it. You know, I'd like to know the percentage of that many today. I could answer maybe by verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And we don't think much of this, do we? We don't really contemplate verses like this. We don't think about them much. We should, because the first time God judged the world, 8 people got saved. Hello? That's out of millions. 8 people. My goodness. And another time you see judgment happen in the scriptures with Sodom and Gomorrah, and you see Lot and his family saved. Listen, the odds that there's going to be this mass removal of people that's noticed may not happen. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christian by name, but if you look at them, they're on the wrong path. Boy, we need, Lord, am I walking where I'm supposed to walk? I think sometimes it's good for believers to stop and get the map out again and say, am I on the right path? Because I don't know how I got on this path, but this isn't right. I'm seeing some things that aren't true that I hear, or how did I get here to where I'm walking totally the opposite way of what the Word tells me to go? You know, I think a lot of times we're like men with maps in the car. Right? Ladies are laughing, right? It's a pride thing for men. Just bear with them, okay? We can have Siri, we can have the map in the car on the computer, and if it says turn left, the guy's going, nah. I know where I'm at. All right, you get it. Sometimes we handle the Word of God like that. I know what I'm doing. I don't need to check the map. But without God's Word, we're going to walk in darkness, aren't we? You look at back here where the men are studying Jeremiah, and I remember this verse out of Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, 23 to be exact. It says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. He can't do it. Have you ever tried to direct your own steps and not use the Word of God? Where'd that get you? It got you right into sin, I'll bet. I guess we should never think that the Word of God is unnecessary. I think, yet there's many religious people that act like that. The Bible's not necessary. They live their lives according to what seems right to them, like Proverbs 14 would say. You know, they believe whatever sounds good to them is what they should do. They teach what others want to hear. You know, think of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, now the Spirit, in verse 1, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. I'm just reading what I want to read. You just listen. Doesn't apply at all. I'm right over here in 2 Timothy. Is that where I told you to go?
Yeah.
Good, you're listening. Preach the word. Preach the word starts out there, or I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Are we there? It's getting worse. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Folks, let's go back here to 119, Psalm 119. This word in front of you is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And listen what the psalmist says now. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. He's learned something here. He's learned what the word is to his feet and how it guides his life. And he now makes a promise to God, I swear to you that I will keep your righteous judgments. I will follow your word. I'll do what your word says. He says, I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. And he's been repeating this over and over and over. That verse 107 is the most repeated verse in thought in the whole psalm. Revive me, revive me, revive me. Now, I like verse 108 here. Except, I pray, except, as in, Lord, please accept this, I pray the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord. Now, what are freewill offerings? Giving without asking, giving beyond what's expected of you to do. You can have a freewill offering simply because you love him. God, I just want to give you this today. I want to do this for you today. I want to say this to you. You ever given a freewill offering from this, your lips? Lord, I love you. I just want you to know I love you. I just want to, Lord, and this is what the psalm, he's saying something here. Listen, please accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. Do something, Lord. I just want to tell you I love you, but there's something in that that I want you to do for me. I want to know your word. I want you to teach me your word. You ever ask God that? Lord, teach me your word. Just teach me who you are, what you're like. Teach me what I'm supposed to do. Teach me your word. Now look at this. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. I could go any way, God, but this is what I want to do. I'm not going to forget your word. I'm going to stay right here in your word. Even though I could take my life and go this way or go that way, I want to stay in your word. I want to do what your word tells me to do. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. I haven't left your word. See, over and over and over, the psalmist is pointing us where? Back to this. Back to this. He's talking because he's learned that the word of God is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. He's probably been off that path in his life, and he's going, I'm not doing this again. I don't want to stray from the Lord. I don't want to find myself out in the wilderness or distance from him. I'm going to stay as close to the word of God as I can. You know, so he says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage. I love that. As a heritage or as an inheritance. You ever look at that? You would think, okay, I'm going to go to heaven and there's treasure waiting for me there. My inheritance is there. And that's true, right? Amen? Ephesians talks about it. Ephesians 1. But you ever thought that this is also your inheritance? Oh, think about that. Now think about, I never read it. I never study it. Let's take the richest man in the world. I don't even know who that is anymore. Oh, Elon Musk, right? I suppose. Okay. Let's say you were his relative, and he passed away. And he has, well, I don't know, trillions, billions, I don't know, well, a lot. And you found out you were in his will. And he's got some promises for you to have. And let's say you're like most people that handle the word of God. Oh, well, who cares? If you found out you were in the last will and testament of a guy like that, would you read it? Why? Come on, be honest. Because you want to be rich. There's that part that you say, what am I getting out of it, right? I'm not teaching prosperity stuff here, right? Listen to me. You would want to know what he left you, what he has for you, right? Look at what he says here. He says, your testimonies I have taken as an inheritance forever. I want to know what he gave me. I want to know what God gave me. I want to know where I stand. I want to know what he's promised. I want to know if that's for then or can I have it now? If every spiritual blessing has been given to us in heavenly places in Christ, that's not when you get there. That's today. So don't you want to know what the word says? I do, because it's my heritage. For they are The rejoicing of my heart, he says. This is where my heart gets happy, the Word of God. The greatest thing in my day is to have my eyes open up and I say, Lord, thank you for the mercy that you've restored. You've given me again. And I go out to my Keurig and I push the coffee button and I go sit down with this. Before anything happens in life and the world, any of that kind of stuff, I get to be here. And it's just the most thrilling place that I could possibly find myself. It's my place of rejoicing. It says, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I want to keep your word because I'm in love with you and your word. And your word has proven to be a light to my feet, or a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Father, you guys, do you think of the word of God like that? And no matter what happens in life, this word is a lamp to our feet. Amen? But if you're not in it, you don't read it, it's not part of your life, you're going to find yourself off the trail like the blind leading the blind. So stay in it. I encourage you. The times we're in right now, you need to be in this word and have everything focused through the lens of the Word of God and not news or magazines. This has to be the prism that you look through. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is mighty, it's powerful, it is a lamp, Father, that you've given us so we know how to walk in a dark place. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that path that we're on leads to heaven, leads us to you. I think of Pilgrim's Progress, Father, as I'm talking like this. Lord, we have a lamp to our feet. Help us to stay on the path in Jesus' name. Amen.